for joining us. I'm Diane Rehm. A top executive at Quaker Oats once said of her company's bottled water, quote, "When we're done, tap water will be relegated to showers and washing dishes." Health scares in Boston, Washington, D.C., and now along the Louisiana coast highlight fears some have about their drinking water and illustrate one reason bottled water sales have risen so dramatically in recent years. In a new book, water expert Peter Glick explains why we've turned to bottled water and the environmental and social consequences of drinking it. His new book is titled Bottled and Sold, The Story Behind Our Obsession with Bottled Water. Peter Glick joins me in the studio. He is a recipient of the MacArthur Fellowship for his work on water issues. Do join us, 800-433-8850. Send us your email to drshow@wamu.org. Join us on Facebook. Send us a tweet. Peter, good morning to you.
I'm very happy to be here.
Well, it's good to have you here. This whole story of bottled water and how this country became so enamored with it is one that's fascinating. I can remember years ago when my husband started drinking Evian, and I would say to him, "Why are you drinking water from a bottle?" And all of his friends would say the same thing. He was the only one. And now everybody is drinking bottled water. Why?
It's turned into a remarkable thing. When I was growing up as well, the idea that my mother would go to the store and buy water to bring home, it would be inconceivable. I grew up in a city, like many of us, that has wonderful tap water. This country spent a lot of money and a lot of brain power building a wonderful tap water infrastructure. And yet now we drink so much more bottled water. It's become a day-to-day thing. People don't think about it. And I think there are a number of reasons. One is we've become fearful of our tap water in many places. We hear about bottled water. We hear about tap water scares and water quality scares in Washington and Boston, as you mentioned. I think the marketing has been a big component to it. It's been marketed to us pretty successfully because, after all, you have to convince people to spend a lot of money buying something that you get pretty cheaply out of your tap. I think sometimes people don't like the taste of their tap water. I think that's a legitimate concern. And our water fountains are disappearing. I think all of those contribute to the reasons why bottled water's become a much bigger thing.
You know, it's interesting. I just had an email from Winchester, Virginia, from RW. He says, "On the average, in my neighborhood, regular gasoline costs $1.82 per gallon. Aquafina, Pepsi Cola, or Dasani, Coca-Cola cost $8.90 per gallon. Filtered tap water cost 19 cents per gallon. If I average 5 20-ounce bottles a day, which I do, my annual savings by drinking my filtered tap water instead of their filtered tap water is approximately $1,400. Is that about the same figure you come to?
We spend a huge amount of money, in my opinion, mostly unnecessarily, on bottled water. And your emailer talks about filtered tap water. Unfiltered tap water, regular tap water, is even cheaper than that. Bottled water is really, when it comes down to it, 1,000 times more expensive than our tap water. And for that 1,000 times increase in expenditures, you should think, one would expect we were getting a better product. And that's not always the case.
But I think you have to acknowledge that there are some reasons in some areas from time to time to be concerned about drinking tap water.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, the first recommendation in my book is fix our tap water systems. We have a great tap water system in this country, but there's also no doubt that it's not as good as it could be. It's not as good as it should be. The answer to problems with our tap water system is not for us to go to bottled water. It's to spend the money that's required to fix our tap water
Which
systems.
is a lot of money.
It is, but you know what? It's less than we would spend on bottled water. And is there anything more basic than in a civilized society than a high quality water system? We have a wonderful tap water system. We've spent a lot of money on, and it's to some degree a lot more money to bring it up to state of the art. But it's in the long run, it's absolutely worth it. It's absolutely critical that we do that.
You know, we did a program yesterday on trust in institutions, government, big business, banks, etc. I wonder whether that whole trust factor, or mistrust, if you will, has spilled over into the bottled water or the tap water industry.
Absolutely. I think that's a really good point. We have less and less trust in the institutions that surround us. And one of those institutions is our water system. I think we need to trust our tap water system, but in order to trust our tap water system, we need to be convinced that it's reliable and that it's producing a high quality product. It can, it should, it has in the past, it still does mostly, but we need to spend the resources necessary to provide long term a high quality water system.
So, where in the country are you most concerned about the safety of the water coming out of the
You
taps?
know, ironically, it's not in the big cities. Our big cities are pretty good.
New York is supposed to be
New York,
outstanding.
you know, people worry about Washington. Mostly Washington has a good system. The problem tends to be old piping, not the water you put in the top, but the water that comes out the bottom at your tap in some parts of the city. So those things can be fixed. But some of the worst drinking water problems are in rural America, where people are relying on wells that aren't tested by the EPA. They aren't subject to federal regulations. They may be contaminated with agricultural runoff. The drinking water problem in the US is pretty small, but where it's biggest is actually in parts of rural
All
America.
right, well, let's talk about the water in Washington, for example. How can we know our water is safe? How can we have it tested? How much does it cost to test, to reassure ourselves we don't need to buy bottled water?
There are two pieces to that problem. The first is the water that goes into the pipes from the purification plants. That is tested by federal law all the time. And when there are problems, and sometimes problems are found, they have to fix them. The real problem tends to be at the end of the pipe, where we have old houses sometimes with lead in them. That's been the problem in the last few years in Washington. It's been a small number of old lead pipes. Let's get rid of the lead pipes. That requires testing at the end of the pipe. And I think if people are concerned about the quality of their water there, they should ask for it to be tested. There are very inexpensive testing systems. And the more we test, the more confident we are that, in fact, things are okay, or the more we find problems that need to be fixed. Testing is a key part here. And in fact, testing is one of the problems with bottled water. Bottled water is not tested as often, or as reliably, or as independently as most of our tap water systems.
Who's testing the water that's bottled?
Often, the bottlers themselves are doing the testing with no independent oversight, and they're not testing as frequently as our big cities test our tap water.
So you're saying there is no government oversight into testing of bottled water?
Here's the catch. The EPA regulates our tap water under the Safe Drinking Water Act. All tap water is federally regulated. The FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, regulates bottled water because it's considered, believe it or not, a food product. So the FDA is supposed to be responsible for regulating bottled water. Not all bottled water is actually regulated by the FDA. If it doesn't cross state lines, it's the state's responsibilities. And some fraction, we don't even know what fraction, isn't even regulated by the FDA. But it gets worse than that, because in fact, the FDA doesn't actually do testing themselves of water quality. They leave it to the bottlers, and the bottlers are supposed to report the results to the public. But that information's really hard to find.
Have you had serious outbreaks of waterborne disease from bottled water?
We don't know. We do know that when people look carefully at bottled water quality, and in fact, there's a brand new report out this week from Canada, we find problems. I think in general, most tap water is safe. I think in general, most bottled water is perfectly safe too. But in both cases, we're not testing it enough to ensure, as you point out, public confidence. This is all ultimately a public confidence question. I think we should be testing. We should be reporting those results to the public. It should be independent. It should be clear. If we're going to pay 1,000 times more for bottled water than for tap water, we better be pretty confident that we're getting a good product.
You know, it's interesting. This seems to be one of those issues we've left to private industry to take care of. As we lose confidence in the piping, we're turning to the bottling. And yet, as you suggest, the bottling may leave us no safer than the piping. Bottled and Sold is the title of Peter Glick's new book. In just a few moments, we're going to take your calls. We're also going to talk about what happens to those bottles. Our first email for Peter Glick, author of the new book, All About Bottled Water. His book is titled Bottled and Sold. Jim in Baltimore, Maryland says, some bottles do not indicate any type of purification. One could assume they're the equivalent of tap water. Some claim to have been filtered through reverse osmosis, a high-quality filtering method. Is there any evidence that filtering claims on bottles are untrue?
There are all sorts of problems with the labeling of bottled water. If you look at the typical label, it's sort of astounding how little information it actually provides. It doesn't typically tell you where the water came from, what was done to process it. There's no water quality report available, even often online. That should be mandatory. The labels are incredible for how little they provide in terms of information. Bottled waters come from different places, and they're treated different ways. Some are not treated at all if they come from springs, natural springs, or supposedly natural springs. Some are reprocessed tap water. A surprising amount is reprocessed tap water. Some of that's reprocessed additionally, but if it was tap water, it was safe when it went into the bottle.
All right. Now I hear this other perspective from Evelyn in Sykesville, Maryland. She says, I use bottled water because I cannot have fluoride, which almost all municipalities in this country at their water. I buy water purified by reverse osmosis. The chemicals, fluorosilic acid, sodium silochlorofluoride, and sodium fluoride used to fluoridate drinking water, are industrial waste products from the phosphate fertilizer industry. And this is what they want me to drink? What do you say to that, Peter?
I think there's a lot of misinformation about fluoride out there. A lot of municipalities have been fluoridating water for many years because it prevents cavities, and they do it at levels that aren't dangerous for human health. Fluoride in any excessive amount, like any chemical in any excessive amount, is a problem, of course. And if this particular person has a particular health issue associated with the fluoride that might be in her water, absolutely she should not drink water with fluoride. But in general, the fact that we fluoridated our water has incredibly reduced cavities nationwide.
And
kids who are drinking only bottled water now, they're getting more and more cavities, the doctors report, dentists report.
That's interesting, because here's an email from Kay in Dallas, Texas, who says, my friend has been drinking bottled water for years. Her teeth are now in very bad shape. She may lose some of them. Her dentist says it's because she hasn't been getting the fluoride present in tap water.
There you go.
So if you have a sensitivity to fluoride, perhaps you're going to turn to bottled water.
Sure, or a filter that might remove it. Any of us who have particular health issues should certainly be aware of them.
Here's another. I grew up on well water, which tasted great. Then I moved to the city, to Baltimore. It tasted horrible. Too much chlorine, maybe. It was so chemicalized, it ruined my morning coffee. Can the chemical taste be taken out of city water?
That's a great question. As I talk about in the book, one of the reasons people have moved to bottled water is taste. Many people don't think they like the taste of their tap water. They legitimately don't like the taste of their tap water. And I think that's a fair reason to look for an alternative, to either filter your tap water, and there are ways of filtering it to improve the taste. In the end, I think our municipalities can produce perfectly good tasting water. And it gets back to this issue of fixing our tap water system. If your water tastes bad, and everybody in your neighborhood believes it tastes bad, the water agency ought to figure out a way to treat the water for everybody. The solution, again, is not bottled water. That's an expensive, temporary, bad fix. It comes with all sorts of bad consequences.
Do you drink any bottled water?
I will sometimes drink bottled water. I'm not, and I don't in this book say nobody should drink bottled water. I try not to drink it. When it's incredibly hard for me to find a water fountain, sometimes I'm forced to. When I go overseas and I don't know about the tap water system, I sometimes drink bottled water. But I do my best to avoid it. I do my best to carry around a refillable bottle where I can fill it with tap water from wherever I'm visiting.
All right. Now let's talk about the environmental cost of bottled water. And let's start with the bottles themselves. I want to know what's in those plastic bottles and how those chemicals could, in fact, leach into the water.
One of the biggest environmental problems with bottled water is the bottles themselves. They're typically made out of something called PET. It's the little number one plastic if you look at the little triangle on the bottom. PET is actually, it's a great plastic. It's transparent, it's lightweight, it doesn't typically leach chemicals into bottled water. It's good for food, it's got all sorts of great characteristics, except that it lasts forever in the environment, in our landfills.
Forever and ever.
If we don't recycle it, and we don't recycle the vast majority of our PET bottles, they go to landfills. So I don't worry about leaching from number one plastic. There are plastics that do leach. We try not to, and we certainly ought not to put any food products in those. But I don't worry so much about the chemical aspects as I worry about the environmental consequences of producing the bottles. It takes a huge amount of energy to make these plastic bottles, and then the disposal problem.
What happened to our recycling efforts?
You know, we're recycling more than we used to, but we're not recycling nearly enough. The industry loves to say PET, this number one plastic, is 100% recyclable. And that's true, but it's a big difference between recyclable and recycled. And we probably only recycle 30%, maybe a little bit more, of our plastic water bottles, and the rest go to landfills.
Now, is that because we are producing so much in the way of recyclable items, but the industry, the recycling industry, is simply not keeping up?
It's not keeping up. The bottling industry fights bottle bills. They don't like to push mandatory recycling programs or even incentive programs like the fees on bottles in many states. There's no requirement that water bottles be made of partly recycled material. You could recycle it back into bottles. It's almost all made of what we call virgin PET, which comes from petroleum. And so there is a big energy problem and a big waste problem associated with our use of bottled water.
All right, let's take some of these calls. We've got a great many folks waiting here. 800-433-8850. Let's go first to Fairport, New York. Good morning, Sue.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I think, Diane, you had talked about you have a place in Pennsylvania, and you're very familiar with the natural gas drilling that's going to be going on. I live in Western New York, and I am very concerned with the drilling and the effects it will have on our fresh water going into these, because they have to use huge volumes of fresh water, and then the wastewater coming out. And I personally don't think that it should be drilling. I'm a strong proponent of regional energy supplies, but I don't think it should be at the expense of our most precious natural resource, and that is water. And the other thing, I was wondering if your guest could comment on, in the Gulf, in the oil spill, what effect that will have on the water supply all along the coasts.
Peter.
Well, there is a tremendous connection between energy and water, as Sue points out. It takes a lot of energy to produce and clean and move our water, like our bottled water. It takes a lot of water to produce and use energy. And the idea that we're using more and more of our valuable fresh water for producing natural gas, as Sue points out, is a problem, because it takes a lot of water and it often contaminates a lot of water. And in the long run, a sustainable water system in the United States requires taking care of our renewable water system and ensuring that it's safe and reliable and clean. And I don't think we're doing that carefully enough.
All right, Tim, joining us now from his office in Alexandria, Virginia, is Joseph Doss. He's president of the International Bottled Water Association. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Diane, and thank you for having me. It's great to be here with you and Dr. Glick.
Thank you. Tell me how you answer Peter's criticisms of the bottled water industry.
Well, there was a long litany there, I guess. Like, where should I start? First of all, let me just say that bottled water is a very safe, healthy, convenient product. It's comprehensively regulated by the FDA. Now, bottled water regulations must, by law, be as protective of the public health as tap water. And, you know, we just don't see this as a tap water versus bottled water issue. We support a strong tap water system. And, you know, we don't disparage tap water. If consumers are drinking water, whether it's bottled water or tap water, that's a good thing. It's a consumer choice. And we believe that any efforts to discourage consumers from drinking water, whether it's tap or whether it's bottled water, are just not in the public interest. So, you know, we think that the regulations in place adequately protect the public, and we try not to disparage tap water, but when you start to get into situations where you compare bottled water with tap water, it's kind of like, okay, well, I'm not going to disparage it here, but I'm going to give you the facts. I mean, there are differences, for instance, Dr. Glick pointed out, in the testing requirements, but in the bottom line, again, is that they must be as protective of the public health as EPA's regulations, and And if you do it on a gallon-per-gallon basis in terms of what is required to be tested, bottled water is tested probably 30 times more often than tap water. So, and there are differences. For instance, EPA allows municipal water systems to average their test results for trihalomethanes, for bromate, for turbidity, when determining whether a maximum contaminant level has been exceeded. You can't do that with FDA. FDA never allows bottled water companies to average any test results. Every single bottle is considered a food product that must meet the standards every single time. EPA allows the states to grant waivers from testing for up to 3 years for municipal water systems, and no waivers are granted for testing for bottled water at all. So there are differences, but at the bottom, they're supposed to both be regulated to protect the consumer health, and we think they are. We don't disparage tap water.
Peter Glick.
Yeah, it's absolutely true that the regulations are, quote, supposed to be as protective as tap water. The reality, in my opinion, and I describe examples in the book, is that I don't believe they are. And one of the recommendations I make is, I said this earlier, EPA regulates tap water and FDA regulates bottled water. The regulations ought to be identical, not similar, not as protective. They ought to be identical. They probably ought to be under a single agency. And I don't have a strong preference for who it is, except that, you know, FDA is not doesn't have a great track record in protecting our food resources. I also agree that in general, most bottlers, and I say this in the book as well, don't disparage tap water, but some do. And maybe it's the rogue bottlers and the rogue advertisers and the guys who are a little outside of the mainstream industry, but there's a very strong incentive to sell bottled water at the expense of tap water.
Peter Glick, his new book is titled Bottled and Sold, and you're listening to the Diane Rehm Show. Joseph Dossie, if I could also ask you, what is the industry doing to reduce waste and to try to improve labeling?
Well, the bottled water industry, like many other industries, is trying to reduce the environmental impact of its products. We're taking actions to reduce our footprint. For instance, the bottled water industry is using much lighter weight plastics now for its containers. If anyone drinks bottled water, they can see over the years that certainly those bottles are becoming thinner and we're using less plastics. We are using some of the bottled water companies using recycled PET as part of the bottles that they're making. And we are improving on the recycling rate. We basically have right now, as Dr. Glick said, about a 30% recycling rate for bottled water containers. It's the highest rate among all beverages, and it's 32% increase from 2007. So we made some large steps. I think we need to do better, and we are. But I think it's important to consider this fact, and that is that bottled water makes up just 1/3 of 1% of the U.S. waste stream in the United States. So we strongly believe that any efforts to reduce the environmental impact of packaging has to focus on all consumer goods and not just target any one industry, and particularly bottled water, that's just responsible for 1/3 of 1% of the total waste stream.
Okay, let me ask you about Concord, Massachusetts, which has now passed a measure to ban bottled water in plastic containers on the grounds that those containers are not reusable. What are you going to do about that?
Well, the latest report I saw yesterday, there was an article that appeared in a Concord news report, basically saying that the town of Concord has decided not to go forward with that ban. So at this point, it seems not to be moving forward, and we strongly believe that if it did, the AG, the Attorney General of the state, has to review all town hall measures, and we feel strongly that it would be found to be invalid. So at this point, it does appear, though, that the town hall itself, town hall meeting, and the council has decided not to move forward with it.
And what about your thoughts on a proposed tax on bottled water?
I beg your pardon?
What about your thoughts on a proposed tax on bottled water?
Well, obviously, bottled water, you know, again, is a healthy product. People drink it to stay hydrated, and I don't think that any additional taxes are necessary. They are regressive, and it could, again, discourage people from drinking a healthy product, particularly in these days when the rates of diabetes and heart disease are going up in the United States. I think we ought to be doing all that we can to make sure that consumers are drinking water, again, whether it's bottled water or tap water.
What do you think, Peter?
I'm not a big fan of bans. I think there's a role for bottled water. I agree with that. I do think there's a role for taxing bottled water. A number of cities have taxed bottled water, and those taxes have been upheld in order to address the additional costs, the burdens those cities are bearing in terms of waste problems produced by bottled water. And that seems to be a legitimate thing to do. I want to tackle this issue. You know, Joe Doss says everybody should be drinking water. I certainly agree with that. The bottled water industry would prefer that you drink bottled water rather than tap water. I think the problem is we have two comparable products, an expensive one and an inexpensive one. And I certainly think people should be drinking water rather than soft drinks, but let's make it tap water.
Peter Glick, his new book is titled Bottled and Sold. On the line with us is Joseph Doss, president of the International Bottled Water Association.
National broadcast of The Diane Rehm Show is made possible in part by the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, a source for what works in education. Learn more at edutopia.org. By Ann and John Herman, supporting City Year, and the young adults who dedicate a year of their lives to community service and leadership development, cityyear.org. And by Intel Corporation, in recognition of NPR's ongoing commitment to science and technology coverage. This is NPR.
The punk-inspired band Green Day became so popular a new Broadway musical is based on its album American Idiot. Frontman Billy Joe Armstrong didn't expect fame.
I didn't know if I was ever going to play Madison Square Garden again. So I said, well, there's one way to remember this occasion is to be the guy that was naked on stage in Madison Square Garden.
Billy Joe Armstrong on the next Fresh Air. Join us.
We're talking about water, both bottled and tap water, the advantages of both. And if you'd like to join us, we'll take your phone calls, your email, your messages on Facebook, and your tweets. First, let's go to Beth in Blacksburg, Virginia. Good morning, you're on the air.
Good morning. Hello, Diane. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I think that one important aspect of bottled water phenomena is that untainted water should be available to all people. So if we become more reliant on commercial bottled water instead of public water sources, then water will gradually become more and more privatized. So if water's privatized and we let our tap water fall in quality because of this, then people who can't afford overpriced bottled water will suffer.
Sounds like education to me, Beth. Same situation. Peter.
Yeah, Beth, you said that beautifully. That's exactly right. if we let our tap water systems fall into disrepair, then the rich will buy bottled water or they'll buy personal home water purification systems, and the poor will drink dirty water and get sick. And that's what's going on in developing countries right now, and we absolutely can't let it happen.
And as I said, you know, the bottled water industry supports a strong municipal water system. However, we would think that this is a consumer choice issue. Bottled water is available at various price points, and the bottom line is consumers should have that choice. But we do support a strong municipal system, and I think that's important to understand.
Tell me, Joseph Doss, why you believe that bottled water is better than tap water?
I don't claim it's better. Again, it's a consumer choice issue. There are reasons why consumers choose bottled water. They choose it for health reasons, just like they would choose tap water for health reasons. They might choose it, as Dr. Glick pointed out, there's some taste issues involved. Some people prefer it for that reason, the taste or smell. People buy it because they can take it on the go. They can take their bottled water wherever they are. So there are various reasons. We don't say that it's better than tap water. We do say, though, that it should be within the consumer's choice to decide whether the consumer wants to choose bottled water or tap water.
I would point out there are those in the bottled water industry, and the IBWA is very good about this, but there are those in the industry that do argue that bottled water is better than tap water, that it's healthier, that it's going to make you sexier or more popular, or there's all sorts of bad, false advertising. And that's another area in which there needs to be a little more attention from the federal regulators who are supposed to protect us against that stuff.
Peter Glick, what about truth in advertising? What is in bottled water?
Well, it would be nice to know. As I said earlier, our labels are incredibly uninformative. Labels in Europe provide very good information about the mineral content of water, about the way the water was processed, about where the water comes from. The standard label in the United States is not adequate. And one of the things I argue again in the book is that we need much more truthful, accurate, informative labels.
And Mr. Doss.
Well, I'd say this. First of all, the bottled water companies conform with all the FDA food labeling regulations that apply to all food products. But let me just say this.
They do, but they're not adequate, those regulations.
And let me just follow by saying that consumers should be able to find out what is in their bottled water. Most bottled water products have a phone number, website on the label, so consumers can contact the company and ask for the information, the kind of information that some groups want to have on it just wouldn't fit on the label. You'd have to have an accordion label that would stretch the size of your outstretched arms. But if a consumer calls a bottled water company and does not get the information they want, they have a choice. They can go buy another water brand. They can buy another bottled water brand. And that's the big difference. There is a requirement that tap water systems provide consumers once a year with what's in found to be in their product. However, they don't have a choice. Consumers do not have a choice of what tap water comes into their home. You do have a choice of what bottled water you drink. So if you don't get the information you want, pick another brand.
How about this complaint about somehow bottled water making you smarter and sexier? I'm looking at an ad with Jennifer Aniston. In it, she's holding bottled water. She's showing her abs. She's showing her slim hips. What do you think about that, Joe Doss?
Well, first of all, I think that any advertising claims, first and foremost, have to meet the standard that FTC establishes, which is they have to be truthful, they have to be non-misleading, and there has to be substantiation. And Dr. Glick goes into those very well in his book. And that is certainly the position of the association. And certainly what happens most of the time in all commerce in the United States with regard to advertising is usually actions are brought mostly through complaints by your competitors. So bottom line is that if that advertisement is shown not to be truthful, and if it's shown to be misleading and not substantiated, then we think action ought to be taken and take it off the, you know, get rid of it.
Yeah.
Well, but do you think that particular ad, Smart Water Sexy, do you think that is a necessarily truthful ad?
Again, I am not an expert in FTC law, so I can't make that determination, and I quite frankly am not familiar with the product you mentioned, because it could be that there, by the way, bottled water is very comprehensively regulated as to what types of water there are. Waters that have flavors in them, that have other ingredients in them, are not bottled waters in the true sense that FDA regulates them. So those products are not bottled water if they, in fact, have flavors and other enhancing substances in them.
I think the real bottom line is that the laws we have in place to deal with false and misrepresentative advertising aren't being adequately enforced. We have laws, but they're not being enforced, and that's part of the problem with some of these ads that we see that suggest that bottled water will make you thinner or healthier or smarter with no substantiation.
All right. To Cleveland Heights, Ohio. Good morning, Jeff. You're on the air.
Morning. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
I had a quick question. I wanted to see if you had any information on what kind of an environmental impact bottled water would have versus tap water, you know, the whole bottling it, the containers distributing it, you know, just in terms of energy, you know, how they compare and contrast.
Peter.
Yeah, Jeff, that's a great question. There has been some work done on what we call the life cycle assessment, looking at the environmental impacts or the energy costs of different kinds of beverages, including bottled water and tap water. Bottled water is hugely more energy intensive and materials intensive than tap water if you look at the same volume. It's hundreds of times more energy intensive. And of course, it requires this additional packaging that causes some of the environmental problems downstream. So from a resource point of view, overall, tap water is better.
Then we have an email from Frank in North Carolina who says, please ask if New York bottled water actually comes from springs, as they would lead you to believe. Are these bottles that show mountain springs on the labels misleading? Joe Doss.
Well, let me say again that bottled water, there are comprehensive regulations that spell out exactly what the water must be if they call it a spring water, if they call it a purified water. So if the water in that bottle does not meet the definition that FDA has set forth for that particular type of water, whether it be spring water, artesian water, or purified water, then that bottled water is subject to FDA regulatory action for being misbranded, and it should be. It should be brought forward and taken off the market. So bottom line is that bottled water manufacturers it's in their best interest to make sure that what's in the bottle is what they say is on the label. So I would say that, you know, that's a case-by-case situation. If the person has a concern about whether that particular water is, in fact, from a spring, I would suggest they call the bottled water company and ask them for some more information about it.
This is a great example, though, of where the regulations fall down on us. The labeling, for example, doesn't prohibit a company from calling its water Arctic water, even though it comes from New Jersey or Oklahoma, nowhere near the Arctic, or Yosemite water, although it comes from nowhere near Yosemite.
How about Fuji
National
water?
Park. Fuji comes from, Fiji water comes actually Fiji. From the island of Fiji, and there are all sorts of issues associated with that. But on the labeling, there are lots of misrepresentations that the laws do not prevent. There's lots of confusion out there.
What about Fiji water?
Well, Fiji water comes from the island of Fiji. It's spring water. It's packaged in Fiji. It's shipped to the United States. I think there's probably no problem with the labeling of Fiji water, but there are huge energy costs associated with bringing Fiji water all the way from Fiji to where we consume it.
And I would say, though, that if you don't mind, I would say that bottled water is just one of thousands of other products that is sometimes brought in from other countries. There are wines, there are cheeses, there are many other products that that come in from all around the world.
But it's one of the few food products that we bring from all over the world for which there's an incredibly cheap source a few feet away from you in your kitchen.
But again, it's a consumer choice issue, bottom line.
Sure.
Does the FDA examine Fiji water?
They're supposed to. Do they actually do the monitoring? I don't think so. I think Fiji does it and is supposed to independently report. But I've never heard of any FDA inspector testing the water itself in Fiji.
All right. To
or here.
Clearwater, Florida. Ivan, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering, I think a large part of the, at least in my case, of why I drink bottled water, and perhaps a large part of the impetus behind the growth in the industry, is also just the health consciousness. I mean, 30, 40 years ago, I don't remember people drinking a lot of bottled water, but they also were not going to gymnasiums. They also were not counting calories. So I think at this point, there's just greater health awareness, and then bottled water just happens to be convenient. I spend my entire day in a car, and it's hard for me to remember to refill bottles, but I can certainly put a pack of water in the back of my car and have water all day.
Yeah, Ivan, I think you're right. I would argue, though, in your health club, you have water fountains, and you can carry around a bottle that is refillable. If you want to buy bottled water, look, I'm not arguing you shouldn't. I'm arguing we ought to understand the consequences of our actions and the alternatives that are available to us. Bottled water is no healthier than tap water.
To Tacoma, Washington. Margaret, you're on the air.
Good morning. It seems to me that bottled water is a version of a commodity that should be available to everyone in a very high-quality product, and it should be taxed appropriately if it is a luxury product. And the result of those taxes could and should be used to support and improve our municipal and rural water systems. Thank you for taking my call.
All right. Thanks for calling. Peter?
Well, I partly agree with that. I do believe that each of us should pay in our water bills what's necessary to maintain and upgrade our water systems. I think taxing bottled water in order to deal with the environmental consequences is a good idea. But I think we each can afford to pay a little more for our tap water if what we're going to get from it is a high-quality tap water system.
And again, I'll repeat that we support a strong tap water system. I must say also, though, that we would think that any taxes should be spread out among all users of the product, not just, you know, the bottled water manufacturers. And by the way, tap water isn't free. I mean, the price you pay with your monthly bill is just part of the total cost of that. There's the taxes you pay to keep up the infrastructure. And so it's just not a simple matter of looking at your bill and figuring out that's what I'm paying for my tap water.
And you're listening to the Diane Rehm Show. Let's go now to Arlington, Virginia. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning, Diane. I am a teacher who was encouraged by my students to give up my habit of drinking Evian water, and I'm really happy now that I have. And I bring a refillable bottle to work, and I drink filtered water at home. But I did want to mention that I feel like there's a difference among, like, the different types of bottled water. And if I have to drink bottled water because I don't have any other water with me, I try to get mineral water. It just tastes a lot better. It replenishes me in a different way than, like, filtered Dasani water or something like that. And I feel like in our discussions about bottled water, there seems to be just a lumping together of all types of bottled water that I don't quite agree with.
Margaret, that's a wonderful point. You know, 20 years ago, when there really wasn't that much bottled water around, what people really drank was mineral water. And in Europe, they drank mineral waters, and often very special mineral waters. Everybody had their favorite water from a particular spring that tasted a little bit different. Waters do taste a little different. If people want a drink of special mineral water because they really like the taste, or they like the carbonation, again, it is a consumer product. I think that's fine. But if you're drinking bottled water because you don't trust your tap water, then society needs to do something to make sure that we do trust our tap water.
Joe Doss, I wonder whether you feel that there is a growing campaign against bottled water.
Well, I certainly think there are a lot of activist groups out there that are not in favor of bottled water. And I think that we certainly realize that. And that's why I appreciate the opportunity to be on calls like this to try to talk about the facts. The facts about bottled water, I think, are clear. I think consumers need to know more of the facts about bottled water. And again, they can make a choice. They can make an informed choice about whether they want to choose one bottled water over another bottled water, a mineral water over a purified water, a bottled water over a tap water, a bottled water or a tap water over another beverage. research. So I think that we certainly understand that there is concern. We believe that the bottled water industry has a good story to tell with regard to our environmental impact, the safety of the product. I appreciate this opportunity to try to get some of that information out.
And finally, to you, Peter Glick, what is the debate over bottled water have to do with human rights?
I believe there's a human right to water, to safe drinking water. I think bottled water is a commercial product. I think it's displacing our protection of our tap water system, and I think that's a bad thing. I don't argue we should get rid of bottled water. It is a commercial product, but I think we should do everything in our power to make it unnecessary and undesirable to drink. And if people want to drink it as a luxury product, fine. But let's fix our tap water system. Let's pass smart regulations on water. Let's label water properly. And let's deal with the environmental consequences of this this growing unnecessary habit.
Peter Glick, his new book is titled Bottled and Sold. Joseph Das, he's president of the International Bottled Water Association. Both Peter Glick's website and our own website are linked, as well as that of the International Bottled Water Association. Thank you both. Thanks for listening, all. I'm Diane Rehm.
The Diane Rehm Show is produced by Sandra Pinkard, Nancy Robertson, Jonathan Smith, Susan Neighbors, Denise Couture, and Monique Nazareth. The engineer is Toby Schreiner. Dory Annisman answers the phones. Visit drshow.org for audio archives and CD sales, transcripts from SoftScribe, and podcasts. Call 202-885-1200 for more information.